Okay, here's the scene. You're going for $1 million. You've got one lifeline left so you can call someone for help. And your question is about teaching mathematics. Who would you call for help? Well, I know who I'd call. Marilyn Burns. In fact, we have called Marilyn Burns, and she's on the phone with us right now from California. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina.
It's just wonderful to have been able to reach you and to have you on Teacher Radio at Scholastic.com today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Unfortunately, as far as we know, no one is going to win $1 million today on Teacher Radio.
I guess that money is not what made us all teachers.
That's right. We're here for other purposes, other reasons. But we do need your help, Marilyn, with a question from a teacher that came into the Teacher Radio hotline. So let's hear that question now.
Okay.
Hi, Marilyn. My name is Nancy Pulasic, and I teach third grade in Houston, Texas. I want to ask you about teaching multiplication facts. I can tell a lot of my kids are bored to death. My question is, are there ways to teach multiplication facts and still make it interesting for the kids?
That's a question I get asked an awful lot of the time, and I think it probably is because we all remember our own experiences as kids trying to struggle with those multiplication facts, and the world seemed to be divided into the haves and the have-nots, those people who knew it and those people who struggled with it. I think that there are different issues at different grade levels. And at third grade, Nancy, I think that the emphasis of the instruction on multiplication really should be on getting kids excited about what multiplication is and the ideas, the concept of multiplication, rather than the facts. Because I worry that the children don't really know why learning the facts are very important at that age. Multiplication is something that's a rite of passage. They know they've seen their older sisters and brothers studying multiplication and doing multiplication, so it comes with a certain kind of status. But the learning part of it, I think, puts stress on children if the focus is on the facts rather than on the understanding. So I guess I want to have a lot of conversations with you. One is the kinds of things you might do to help get children excited about the understanding, and then once they have a firm base, how do we help children not only see the reason to know the multiplication facts, but engage them in taking responsibility for learning them for themselves? Mm-hmm. So it's a short question, and it probably took me 5 or 6 years of thinking to resolve the issues for myself. So I think the best place to start, really, is focusing on helping kids see multiplication in what I think of as at least two different ways, as repeated addition, so it's related to something they already know, and to something that's looked at in terms of a geometric model of making rectangular rays and how a 3x4 rectangle relates to the number 12. So I think you have to spend a lot of time on those kind of activities before you start putting the focus on memorization.
Marilyn, that was wonderful. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about teachers who may not be used to more experiential or the kind of student-centered kind of learning that you've been teaching about throughout the country in so many different ways. What about a teacher who might be transitioning from a kind of teaching by rote or teaching memorization? What might be some of the beginning activities that they could do for, let's stick with a third grade group of children?
Yes, let's stick with third graders and let's stick with multiplication, because
okay.
It's a big topic in third grade. Multiplication is a quicker way of doing addition when all the groups are the same size. So if you have 3 fives, we can add 5 and 5 and 5, and soon we learn that 3 fives is 15, and that's the same as saying 3 times 5. So the first way that I start with children is, let's think about things in the world that we know that come in groups, the same size groups. Well, for example, we each have 10 fingers, so that every child, if you have one child, you have 10 fingers, you have two child, you have 20 fingers. So fingers come in groups, toes come in groups, eyes come in groups, ears, players on a baseball team, cans of soda in a six-pack. All the kinds of examples from the real world where you have regular groups, and we make lists, and the children work in groups. And even if the teacher is more comfortable having children work by themselves, mm-hmm. a piece of paper that has the numbers from 2 to 12 on it, and you think of things, like what comes in groups of eights? Well, octopus legs. What comes in groups of five? Well, points on stars. Mm-hmm. And so we start to generate things from the children's life, and then all the multiplication numerical activity comes from the children's exploration of the world. And in that way, I think teachers can see the value of this and how you starting with the children's ideas and how you can move to the very traditional way of thinking about multiplication as repeated addition.
I think that's so wonderful and helpful for teachers, because perhaps what you're saying is it's not as if some sort of new resource or even technology is needed in the classroom so much as just thinking about the children themselves and maybe just thinking of some questions or thinking about your own teaching in some new and some different ways.
I think so. I think that we forget that math is supposed to make sense. We think it's a body of material to be learned. And I think all of us as teachers feel the stress of wanting our children to do well. And when we feel that stress, I think we pass it on to the children. And so I'm trying to think of ways that you can see where the children can engage with things that they have experience with already, and that the message is math is supposed to make sense. So we're going to persist until it does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Kind of demystifying what is also a very mysterious and yet very understandable conceptual process.
And the things that come up will come up in the classroom. If you think about children counting money, for example, so if we have 5 nickels, how much money do we have? That is easy for children to count by fives. They know how to count by fives way before we start to teach them about multiplication. Linking that idea of here's the way I can write that, 5 times 5, that's the same way of mathematically recording something you already know. You take out the mystery.
Thanks, Marilyn. It's been great talking with you today.
Thanks, Nina.
Marilyn Burns will be back next week. And remember, you can find more math wisdom from Marilyn at the Math Solutions website. You'll find information about all of her books and videos and about the Math Solutions workshops for teachers that are held all across the country. The website address is www.mathsolutions.com. That's www.mathsolutions.com. Bye, Marilyn, and I look forward to talking with you again next week.
Bye-bye, Nina.